Good evening. It's a privilege to be with you tonight, and I'm thankful that the Lord brought us back together this evening. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. We're going to continue tonight with our series on the identity of God. I know it's been a few weeks, but if you remember from last time, we looked at how God is glorious and how we should glorify our glorious God. Tonight we're going to look at how God being independent. And I realize when you think of a study on the attributes of God, you probably think of God's omniscience and God's love and God's mercy, and we've not touched any of those attributes yet. In case you're worried, rest assured, we will get to those. But as I said, we have many attributes to look at here as we think of who the Lord is. And so tonight we'll think of the independence of God. Sometimes it's called the aseity of God. If you've heard that before, this is what we'll be talking about tonight. As usual, there is an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to use that. It's also been made available for you online, though I'm sorry to say it is missing some of the cross-references. So we'll read here Acts 17. We're going to read verses 22 to 31. And you'll notice then as we continue this evening, we'll focus primarily on verse 25. Let's read God's word. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." We'll stop there. May the Lord use his word to strengthen our faith in him and deepen our devotion to him. Well, according to the dictionary, to be independent is to be free from outside control. It is to not depend on another's authority or another's provision. Instead, to be independent is to be self-governing and self-supplying. It's to be autonomous. It's to be unconnected. It's to be separate and able to stand on your own two feet. As Americans, of course, we love that word, independence. And as we think of what it means to be American, we often come back to this word, that we are a free nation, are we not, made up of free people. And while that's true and wonderfully true, don't mishear me tonight, we do have to be careful with that line of thinking, don't we? Right? Because our patriotism can get us into trouble at times. For instance, it can lead us to think that we don't need others and that we can do it all by ourselves, which I think really is the American spirit through and through. And yet what we're going to see tonight is that there's actually only one being in the entire universe who's actually and truly independent. Right? There's only one being who never needs help. Right? One being who never needs outside support from anything or from anyone, And of course, you know, that's the Lord. Right? That's the Lord himself. Because despite our proclivity towards autonomy, we are far from being independent as human beings. Right? Independence, really understood, in humanity, those words do not go together. But we, instead, have been made to worship the one who is independent as we daily depend upon him. That's the main point I want you to see tonight. As we think of the independence of God, we need to worship our independent God as we daily depend on him. And so, as usual, we're going to follow the same three-point outline that we've been following in this series. And so let's first begin tonight by thinking about God's independence. Here in Acts 17, I realize I'm not going to say a whole lot about this sermon, but here you've got Paul on one of his missionary journeys. He's come to the city of Athens, a very religious city, though not a Christian city, but there are many false gods. And so he's here, he's at the Areopagus, and he's speaking to many intelligent educated men, and yet unbelieving men. And so, as usual, Paul started preaching the gospel to them. And he did so by appealing to them through their own religious beliefs. And as he did that, this is the reason I've picked this passage tonight, is he says some very significant things about the Lord. And there's many of those things we could talk about tonight. But as I said earlier, I want us to focus specifically on what he says in verse 25. I'll read it again for us. He says here about the Lord, "Now, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." If we're going to think about the identity of God, that right there is a huge statement. Because it shows us that God is independent. And to help us understand, what does it mean that God is independent? I want us to consider it under two headings tonight. And the first one is this. God is independent in that he is self-existent. God is independent in that he is self-existent. If you look on the back of your outline, I've given you a quote from R.C. Sproul. And R.C., at least I think I did. I told you I'm missing some, so you'll have to bear with me. But R.C. Sproul says, "God is self-existent. He has the power of being in and of himself. He depends on nothing and no one for his existence." And that really is what Paul is telling us here in Acts 17, verse 25. He says, God needs nothing, and God gives life to all people. Right? So God's existence, in other words, is not derived from anything else, nor is his existence dependent on anything else. But rather, God has life entirely in himself. He has no cause, he has no creator. He simply is. Puritan George Swinnick puts it this way. He is what he is of himself and from himself. Right? He is what he is of himself and from himself. Which really is one of the main things that sets God apart from the rest of creation. Because what does Paul say here? Our life comes from God, does it not? Look at verse 28. He goes on, he says, "For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being." And we understand this. As humans, we are created by God. Every breath we take, even as we sit in this room tonight, is given to us by God. From the moment we were conceived to the moment we die, we are entirely dependent upon God for every second of our lives. And yet what Paul is telling us is that that's not how it is with God. Right? God has life because he is life. Right? God exists because of himself. Not that he created himself, no. Not that he even caused himself to exist, no. But he exists simply because of who he is. Herman Bovink puts it this way. He says, "God is exclusively from himself, not in the sense of being self-caused, but being from eternity to eternity, who he is, being, not becoming." And so God is independent in that he is self-existent, meaning he is the sole reason he exists. I realize some of you are giving me that look like, whoa, okay, this is a bit heavy. It is a bit heavy, right? But this is how we need to understand God. We exist because God has given us life. God exists simply because God is. That's what we need to understand. The second heading I want us to think about in terms of God's independence is that God is independent in that he's also self-sufficient. Right, so he's self-existent on the one hand, and he's self-sufficient on the other hand. Again, Paul says here in verse 25, God needs nothing. God needs nothing. And so just as his existence comes from himself, so does everything else about him. He doesn't need anything to keep existing. He doesn't need anything to be happy. He doesn't need anything to accomplish his work in the world. No, all of that is found entirely and exclusively in himself. Stephen Lawson puts it this way. He says of God, he lacks nothing while possessing everything. I'll read that again. He lacks nothing while possessing everything. He has no inadequacies, no incompleteness, no gaps, no voids to be filled. And Paul actually describes this well for us in Romans 11, verses 33 to 36, which is on the back of your outline. And we're going to come back to these verses a couple of times tonight. But listen to what Paul says here about God, in particular, God being independent. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." I think about what Paul is telling us here. Right? The wisest person can give God no guidance. The smartest person can give God no knowledge. The strongest person can give God no power. The richest person can give God no resources. Why? Because God has all of that entirely in himself and in himself alone. A.W. Pink says, he gives to all but is enriched by none. Right? He gives to all but is enriched by none, which again is what sets the Lord apart from his creation. Right? We need food for energy and sleep for rest. God needs none of it. Right? We need friends for relationships. We need help for our work. God needs none of it. We need instruction from our teachers and guidance from our parents. God needs none of it. He needs nothing to exist. He needs nothing to be happy. He needs nothing to work in the world. Why? Because everything he needs, so to speak, is found in himself. He's entirely self-sufficient. You know, whenever you're locked in your house for weeks on end, you undoubtedly learn some lessons from the Lord. And so as I was locked in the house for the past couple of weeks, I learned some lessons from the Lord. And one of the lessons I learned from the Lord is how dependent we really are. And because I'll admit, I wanted us to be able to take care of ourselves. And maybe we could have kind of done that in a way. But it became pretty clear to me early on that if we wanted groceries, we were running out quickly, we needed some help, right? If we wanted dinner on the table, we needed some help, right? If I was going to continue my work, I had Carol get stuff from my office and drop it off on my front porch. I needed these things. And thankfully, many of you helped us with those things. And it was a great reminder to me that while I may think I can do it on my own, or while you may think you can do it on your own, if you actually stop and pause, none of us can do anything on our own, right? We need one another for so much in life, whether we realize it or not. And that's true even when you're not in quarantine. But it's not true for God. And God doesn't exist because of anything else. And God in no way needs anything else. But he exists in himself. And he's completely sufficient in himself. As Paul says, God needs nothing. But instead, he gives us absolutely everything. Because in addition to being simple, triune, and glorious, God is independent. There's probably much more we could say about it. But God is independent in that he's self-existent and he's self-sufficient. Now, let's go to our second point here on the outline. And I want us to consider God's independence as it pertains to the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, as we've seen, God's independence sets him apart from creation. There is nothing else like him in the world that is self-existent and self-sufficient. Not a single thing or a single person in all of the universe. In the words of one author, God is ontologically independent from the created order and all created beings. Right? In fact, some would say that God's independence is actually the defining characteristic that separates and distinguishes God from everything else in existence. It's the fact that he's independent. But here's the amazing thing. Though God is independent and so unlike us, his independence does not keep him away from his creation. Because though he does not need us at all, he has created us. And he has given us life. More than that, as believers in his Son, he has saved us and given us eternal life. And as we think of salvation, I want you to see that you as a believer are saved tonight because of God's independence. Again, verse 25. Lord willing, we'll have it memorized by the end of the evening. Paul says, "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." Now, that's a good reminder. Everything we have in life, including life itself, Paul says, comes from the Lord who needs nothing. And as believers in Christ, that includes our salvation. And our spiritual life, our eternal life, is something that's been given to us by God completely. And you see, the only way it can be given to us by God completely is because God is complete in and of himself. John Frame puts it this way. Salvation presupposes God's aseity. For in salvation we are desperate, and God is all-sufficient. Because God is independent, salvation is by grace alone. In other words, we can be saved because the independent God has all that we need. And that's what he's saying. He's the sufficient one. We're the needy ones. Therefore, we can be given the salvation we need. But what's more, he's also bringing out here, we can be saved freely by God in his grace. Why? Because God has all that he needs. And he's the sufficient one. And so he does not need any payments from us in any way. Now, yes, you might be thinking, what about God's justice? Doesn't it have to be satisfied? What about his righteous requirements? Don't they have to be met? Yes, but that's based on who God is, not based on anything God needs, which is a significant difference. Right? This is actually what sets God apart from all the false gods of the world. God does not need to first be served before he can bestow any blessings upon us. Not at all. No, he saves us and blesses us simply because he wants to. Freely and graciously, of his own accord and from his own sufficiency. And so as believers in Christ, we are saved by the independence of God. Without him being self-existent and therefore self-sufficient, none of us would be redeemed from our sins this evening. But we're not just saved by God's independence. We're also saved as believers because Jesus set aside his independence for us. He set aside his independence for us. As we've seen, all the persons of the Trinity are equal in their essence and in their identity. So as the second person of the Trinity, Jesus himself is self-existent and self-sufficient. The second person of the Trinity is self-existent and self-sufficient. And so, just as God the Son is no less glorious than God the Father, he is also no less independent than God the Father. But nevertheless, in becoming the God-man, Jesus did become dependent on God the Father. And for one, he became dependent on God the Father for life itself. In John 6:57, As the living Father sent me, Jesus says, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Right here, Jesus says, as a man, he lived because the Father gave him life. Right? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and throughout his life, he depended on God for every breath he took, just as we do today. Not only that, Jesus depended on God as a man for his messianic ministry. He was filled with the Spirit of God, Scripture tells us, to empower him for his calling, Matthew 3:16. And he was also ministered to by the angels of God who helped him in his calling, Mark 1:13. So, in Jesus' earthly life, both his life itself and his ministry as the Messiah, Jesus was dependent on God. Right? He was needy for help. Why? Because as the God-man, he set aside his independence to be dependent for us. You may remember on the news back in 2015, a woman named Elizabeth Holmes became one of the youngest billionaires when her new company, Theranos, which was a health company of sorts, suddenly reached multi-billion dollar valuation. And so at the time, people were talking about her because she was a young woman. She had become an instant celebrity because here all of a sudden, she had accumulated an extreme amount of wealth. And yet, if you know the story at all, it didn't last long. Because then it became known that her company had actually misled their investors. And so the company started to take a dive, and so did her personal wealth. And so here's this lady who, not that long ago, 6 years ago, had a personal worth of some multi-billions of dollars. Now, if you look it up, she's worth this. Absolutely nothing. Right? Absolutely nothing. And in a similar way, I want to be careful with this, but in a similar way, that's what happened with Jesus in the incarnation. He went from having everything in himself to having nothing, but rather having to depend on the Father for what he needed. And yet it wasn't because he had done something wrong, like Elizabeth Holmes. It was because he loved you and he loved me. Being the independent Son of God, Jesus gave it all up to become dependent on God. Why? Because that's what was needed for our salvation. To save man, he had to live as a man. And as we'll see in our next point, to live as a man or woman, boy, girl, is by definition to depend on God for every single thing you need. So we are freely saved as God's people today because of his independence. And we are freely saved as God's people today because Jesus set aside his independence for us. And so then, how are we to respond to God's independence? And this brings us to our third and final point on the outline, God's independence in the Christian life. So the questions now I think we need to ask ourselves are, how does God's independence apply to us today? Right? What bearing should this attribute of God have on our day-to-day lives? And to answer those questions, I'd like to consider the topic under three heads. And the first one is this. Since God is independent, how does that apply to us? It applies to us in that he does not need us for anything. He does not need us for anything. Again, this is what Paul tells us in verse 25. God needs nothing. And that means he doesn't need you. And he certainly doesn't need me. Which is important for us to understand because God does require a lot of us, doesn't he? Right? God wants us to worship him. Right? God wants us to obey him. God wants us to love him. God wants us to spend time with him. God wants us to talk to other people about him and minister alongside him. Yes, all those things are true. And yet at the same time, Scripture says God does not need us to do any of those things, not even for a second. He wants us to do them, yes. He takes delight when we do them, certainly. But he in no way needs us to do them. Why? Because he needs nothing. Absolutely nothing. He doesn't need our companionship. He doesn't need our help in ministry. He doesn't need our prayers. He doesn't need our witnessing. He doesn't need our work. He doesn't need our love. What's more, Since he doesn't need anything from us, he also doesn't owe anything to us. Right? We saw this earlier when we read Romans 11:35, where Paul said, "Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him." Right? No one. God is indebted to no one, regardless of how much we do for him. And so we have to keep that in mind as we serve the Lord and as we live for him day by day. Right? We're not needed by him, and we do not deserve anything in return for all that we do. We're simply doing our duty, serving him as he deserves, and showing our love for him. You might think of the story that Jesus tells in Luke 17 about the servants coming in from the field. When he comes in from the field, what's the servant told? He isn't told, "Oh, servant, you've done a great job. Here, come, sit down and eat some dinner. You must be starving." No, what happens? Right? The servant comes in, and he's to immediately start preparing a meal for his master and serve his master. And then, after that, the servant can sit down and eat something himself. And if you recall, when Jesus told the story, he asked a question. He said, "Does the master then thank his servant for preparing the meal?" And what did Jesus say? No, because he's only done his duty. Now, the point of the story is for us to think likewise when we've obeyed the Lord ourselves. We shouldn't expect a thank you from God as if we've done him a favor. We've not done God any favor. But instead, Jesus says we need to know that we've merely done our duty. Now, if you're like me, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? Right? That sounds very harsh. But it's not. This is who God is. And it's important for us to understand, especially in light of our pride and in light of our self-centeredness. God doesn't need our service. God isn't helped by our service. And so God isn't going to thank us for our service. Now, God loves our service, yes. God willingly includes our service in his work, yes. But he doesn't need it. And we have to keep that in mind so that we're humble as we serve him and so that we're grateful as we serve him. God does not need us for anything. Now, second, the second thing, how does this apply to the Christian life? I want you to see that even though God does not need us, we should always worship him and serve him and praise him and obey him and so forth. Right? We should praise him for what he has done for us, yes, but we should also praise him for who he uniquely is. If you look again at Romans 11, this is the point Paul makes in verse 36. He says, speaking of God's independence, he says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Right? So in Paul's inspired mind at the time, there's a connection between the aseity of God and the worship of God. But these things always go together. The independence of God should lead to him being praised by creation. That the one naturally follows the other. Why? Because there is no one like the Lord, as we've seen, who's both entirely self-sufficient and self-existent. You see, this is one of the things that makes God so majestic and so wonderful and so praiseworthy. It's that he is a God who is so unlike us and so perfect in himself. And so, even though our worship and service is not needed by God, Paul says in Romans 11, we must always give it to God. And willingly so, and especially so, since he gives us all things in his Son. Because he is not like us. We are dependent, but he is independent. And then third and finally, I want you to see that since God is independent, we should always depend on him. We should always depend on him. As I said earlier, this is God's design for us. To be human is, by very definition, to be dependent on the Lord. Because while he may need absolutely nothing from us, we need absolutely everything from him. We're dependent on God for life. We're dependent on God for food, for work, for income, for health, for safety, for joy, and on down the line. For everything in life, big and small, we are entirely dependent on him for it. As Paul said in Acts 17, we live and move and have our being in him. Right? Not in ourselves. Not in our hard work, not in our care, not in our effort. No, in Him and in Him alone. And so we should live as such, Scripture says. Not trusting in our own skills, not trusting in our own efforts, but always daily trusting in Him for everything. For obedience through the day, for energy for the day, for fruitfulness, for provision, for success. You name it, we should be depending on God for it. Because everything comes from Him. Everything. Whether we realize it or not. Mark Jones puts it this way. He says, if Christ had to constantly depend on the Father when He walked this earth, insofar as He had the Spirit given to Him from the Father without measure, then are we somehow exempt from this type of life? In other words, if Jesus, the God-man who was filled with the Spirit, had to depend on the Father, then do we not also have to depend on the Father for everything? You could think, how did Jesus teach us to pray in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread, He said. Because every day we are to depend on Him for all that we need. And the good news is, God can always supply everything that we need. Now, you see, since God is all-sufficient for Himself, this is the best part about it, that means He's also all-sufficient for us. Absolutely all-sufficient for us. And so that means there is nothing in God that He cannot provide for us. There's no need in your life at any moment that He cannot meet if He so chooses. Why? Because He's a God who is independent. And so this is why we shouldn't worry as we go through life. And this is why we should always prayerfully expect that if we're in Christ, God will take care of us, and God will give us all that we need to serve Him each and every day. Because as we depend on Him, He will supply our every need. So, as we consider who God is, and we consider Him as an independent God, let us worship our independent God as we daily depend upon Him. Let's pray and let's ask that God would help us to better understand this about Him, but also better live in light of this about Him as well. Lord, we confess that trying to understand Your independence is hard for us, but we thank You that it is here in Acts 17, and it is in fact in Romans 11 and so many other parts of Scripture, where You reveal to us that You are a God who is self-existent and self-sufficient, that You need nothing. You did not create us because You need us. You did not save us because You need us. You did not tell us to worship You because You need our worship. Lord, You need nothing. But You are worthy of being served, and You are a good God who loves to bestow blessings and love and mercy and grace upon those who do not deserve it. And so we pray that we would be able to understand a bit more of who You are tonight. Lord, open our eyes to see a bit more of Your glory tonight and Your independence. And Lord, also help us to respond to who You are. Help us to worship You tonight for who You are, and to go into this week daily depending on You for every single thing that we need. Lord, help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.